Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Gets underway here. Actually, yesterday, all kinds of cool stuff going on. So Grant Newsham going to join us again today. We got off the air last week, and he sent me an email. He said, "Hey, there's a story I forgot to bring up. That's a big deal, and when you get a chance, I'd like to, come on and talk about it." I said, "Say no more, my friend. Say no more." So Grant's going to rejoin us today. So we'll talk about that. But I think there should be a show called The Adventures at Home Depot. Yeah, I do. Because I have them all the time. I did post-traumatic winning in Home Depot last night. No shit. So, Colleen and I are building the post-traumatic, the Trauma to Joy channel video studio. Actually, the All Marine Radio video channel. And so, So we go to buy the lumber, okay? And we go to buy the lumber and the drywall and, all the accoutrement. So we go to Home Depot. Now, Colleen and I are walking into Home Depot, and as we're walking in, we both see this dog. Now, it's probably about 82 degrees. So we see the dog. The dog's kind of sitting in the back seat of this car. Windows are up. Nobody's in the car. And so I stop. And now I'm pissed. So I'm looking around to see if anybody's near the car. Nobody near the car. So I go inside, and I find the manager, and he's helping somebody, and he looks at me and says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, there's a dog in a car out here." And he just shakes his head. He said, I'll be with you in 1 second. We'll go out there. I was like, you know what? And I was half expecting, like, well, you know, we really don't get into people's business, so, you know, legally in the parking lot. That's what I was expecting. Guy was awesome. So anyway, he and I go out in the parking lot. And as we kind of get to the car, we can see that there's somebody now in the car. And he said, it looks like they got there. And I said, yeah, it does. So I said, hey, man, thank you very much. And he said, no. He said, thank you for caring. I said, all right. But now I'm kind of pissed. And so Colleen and I have to go find, like, one of those flat rollers, not the one that's that has the low flat thing at Home Depot, but it's kind of like a tabletop because we've got to put drywall on that. So we can't find one. She can't find one because I went to get the manager. So I look at her. I said, did you get it? And she said, no. And so now we go down this aisle looking for where they dump all that stuff, right? And I said, oh, you mean this bright red one that you didn't see? And she's like, I didn't see it. I said, oh, I can understand why. It's bright red. How could you miss it? So anyway, so she grabs it and we're walking. Now my eye catches the Tesla man sitting in his car. And now I start to do, I can feel the engine revving, right? And the dog, it's kind of a lab thing, sitting in the back seat. And he's still looking at me like he knows that I like him, right? So me and the dog are now communicating. And Colleen and I are walking, and I'm staring at this guy and hoping he makes eye contact with me. And he's not. And Colleen says, Dad? And I said, leave me alone. She knows that something crazy is about to happen. But nothing did. And so we're walking and I'm staring at this guy, but he's not looking. And I don't take my eyes off this guy. And Colleen's just watching me. And so so we finally get away from that vehicle, and I turn my head, and she's just staring at me. And she says, you wanted to go over there, didn't you? I said, I still do. She said, no, please. And I said, Colleen, he left that dog in that car, and it's 80 degrees with the windows up. She said, I know, he's an idiot. I said, okay, so doesn't he need to know about that? She's like, no. She goes, you want it so bad. So anyway, we get all this stuff. And now, let me explain the Almarine Radio video studio to you. I'll put a picture up on the read board, and you can see kind of sort of what it looks like so far. So anyway, it's got a bunch of lighting in it. It's got a bunch of lighting in it, and so now we're building the wall. Okay, so I could, you know, use a paper backdrop, but I thought, you know what? That's not what I want. That's not the look I want, right? So I figured I would just build drywall walls, and that's cheaper than plywood, as it turns out. So the length of one wall is 12 feet, and the length of the other is 10. So we're building the 12-foot section yesterday. So they have drywall that's 12 feet long. So I buy two pieces, and then I have like my Nissan Pathfinder. So I look at it, I'm like, how the hell am I going to get this home now? what the fuck, right? What do I do now? So straight up Beverly Hillbilly, strap it to the top of the truck. We got some kind of hanging towards, not hanging towards on top of the windshield, but little shadow, and then the rest of it hanging off the back. Now, the problem with drywall is if you damage it, you damage your wall, right? So you got to be really careful with it. So I strap it down, all this stuff. So we get home. And now we have to build the frame, Colleen and I. So I said, okay, this is how we're going to do. We're going to build the exterior of the frame, right? And I'll drill stuff, and then you come behind me, and you put the screws in, right? So, and Colleen's pretty good at construction. So we're doing this stuff. And we get the frame done. And then we put some liquid nails on it, some glue for the drywall. And we take the first piece of drywall and we pull it off and we put it on the frame. And it's beautiful. It worked. So then we, you know, put some drywall screws, blah, 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 blah. Now we're getting ready for the second, you know, piece of drywall. And put the glue down, go to get the second piece of drywall. And as we're trying to move it, and it's a long piece of drywall, 12 feet, it snaps. Right at the moment, just at like, at the, we're on the precipice of victory. And the drywall snaps. And Colleen knows it's like, here comes the explosion, and is this my fault? She doesn't know it's not her fault. And my head, like, is about to explode, right? So, but I don't say a word. Just dead silence. As I'm, like, trying to contain the nuclear fission that's going on in my fission or fusion, one of the two, or both, that's going on inside my head. I say, okay, you can go get your stuff. I'll take you to your mom's. So she goes in and she finishes her stuff. And now I'm contemplating the mysteries of the universe, right? As I attempt not to, like, punch a hole in the brick wall of my garage. So that passes, as it does. And she comes out and she says, I'm sorry. I said, it wasn't your fault. So don't worry about it. That was my fault. So drop her off, go in, help my ex-wife with her computer. And then I go to Home Depot. I got to get now not another piece of 12 foot. I'll get an 8 foot piece, 2 8 foot pieces, and I'll cut one. So Colleen comes. Oh, so I go into Home Depot. And I'm looking for, the other thing I need was, so I have these lights, and they're nice lights, I have to tell you. And they're those kind of lights that are in, like, boxes. They're in fabric boxes with like, foil interior, and then you have, like, a sheet, some kind of sheet of white cloth. Those kind of, like, professional studio lights. Yeah, fucking kaboom. Yeah, there's like two of those big box lights, and then there's one for like the overhead, so and the way you light shit. And then there's a couple smaller lights. And so I need sandbags. So I had bought earlier in the day, I bought 50 pounds of sand, but just a bag of sand. But I needed bags to put the sand in. So then what you do is you drape these maybe, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 pounds of sand in a little bag, probably less. Yeah, some probably closer to 5 pounds of sand. You put it in some kind of bag, and then you put it over the feet of these lights so they don't tip over because they're fairly top heavy. So I'm looking for these bags. So I walk into Home Depot, and I'm cruising, and I see this girl, and I said, "Hey, I'm looking for like a waterproof bag or some kind of bag to put sand in." And she says, And so she says, "Well, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm building a YouTube studio." And she said, "Really?" She said, "I'd like to do that." And she said, "Well, do you have a channel?" I said, "Well, not it's not up yet, but I'm going to. She said, what's it called? And I'll check it out. I said, it's going to be called Trauma to Joy. I said, it's about, you know, helping people live great lives after they've gone through traumatic events. And she looks at me and she says, I've gone through a lot of trauma in my life. I said, how so? And she said, a lot of domestic violence. Now, she's probably not even 30. And she says, what do you tell people? So right in the middle of Home Depot, I launch into post-traumatic winning. And she's like, oh, my God. And so I gave her my card, and I said, go check it. Here's the tab, post-traumatic winning. Just go check it out. And so she and I are talking, and I show her the 3 goals and 10 commandments, all the things I tell people I do. And then she was telling me she struggles a lot. And I looked at her, and I said, okay, I'm going to tell you something, okay? She said, okay. I said, there's nothing wrong with you. It's okay to struggle, and especially after you go through stuff like that. So all the things I tell people to do, I do, right, in Home Depot. And so she and I stand there. I said, I don't want to get you in trouble. She said, no, this is fine. I said, okay. So we must have stood there for 15 minutes as I gave a little mini hip pocket post-traumatic winning class. So finally she says, I'd like to give you a hug, but we can't. And I said, don't worry about it. I said, if there's anything I can do, you have my card, okay? Just call me. And she said, I'm so excited I met you. And I said, well, thank you. And she said, good luck on your YouTube channel. I said, yeah, I'm here, you know, trying to repair some damage. So now I go find the bags, and they're cheap and they're nice. Yeah, except they're made in China, which didn't make me happy, but whatever. So then I go get the drywall. Then I come home, and I make my little sandbags, and those work perfect. The wall's up. Colleen comes back over. We put the 8-foot piece of drywall up, right, and we screw it into place, and then we stand the wall up, and now we've got to kind of, how do you keep that thing vertical? And it's pretty heavy because it does have drywall on it, which is not light. So take a couple 2x4s, screw something into the overhead of my garage, one of the rafters, and then kind of do this L thing, and then screw it into the side of the studio wall, and it's up, right? And it's up, except it's got one section missing. All right, so I woke up this morning at 4:10. I lay in bed for about 40 minutes. I get up, I shower. I go straight into the garage. And I start, because I have all these things in my mind. Okay, I need to put a cap on each end because that's bare drywall, and that'll flake and at some point crumble. So I need to do that. And then I thought, I should just put that last piece of drywall up right now. No, I should probably wait for Colleen. But the way I do life is like, I'm not waiting for Colleen. Let's put that thing up now. And so, yeah, that thing went up. Kaboom. The wall's like, all the drywall's up on wall number one. Now, the next thing I have to do is I know wall number two probably going to be maybe a foot lower than wall number one, and because I don't think it needs to be 8 foot, but it's easier because everything's cut to 8 foot. So anyhow, that aside, so the studio's an L-shaped studio, and I thought I would have one side that is like I love me stuff. That it's like All Marine Radio side. And then I should have another side that says the other wall is kind of post-traumatic winning wall, which is not so Marine Corps-ish. You know what I'm saying? Because the YouTube channel is designed to export this content to anybody. So like you move the camera to and shoot one angle on against one wall, and you know you're in All Marine Radio Land. Then you hang a right and you shoot the other wall, and you're in just normal post-traumatic winning wall. Yeah, how about that? What do you think of that? And I think post-traumatic winning wall should be like, I don't want to say graffiti wall, but it should be not as many 90-degree angles. And it could have some graffiti, right? Lands with a thud, needs no salesman. That should be on the wall, in post-traumatic winning wall. I have an abstract painting that one of my Marines did, and it's huge. It's like 6 feet by 4 feet. I think that should be on the wall there. I think, I don't know. What else should be on the wall of post-traumatic winning? There should be the logo should be over there someplace. Maybe somebody do a painting for me. Post-traumatic winning painting. Put that up there. And then what I want is, and I'll have to probably build this, because I built one, Colleen and I built one for her bedroom, but I need to have like a stand-up desk that I could have like in front of me as I kind of do live stuff. Now, there would be a couple chairs and a table, right, where I could do interviews from in like All Marine Radio Land. But it wouldn't be like your typical table and chairs, like Dick Cavett shit. You know what I'm saying? It would be like a bench. I used to have a bench in Ramadi called the Bench of Knowledge. It sat next to my desk. And my friends would come and sit on it. And then all kinds of other people would come and sit on it. Mac, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. I said, you know there's a name for that bench you're sitting on, don't you? I'm like, what is it? I said, it's called the Bench of Knowledge. They would start laughing. So there should be a Bench of Knowledge, I think. And so, I mean, you would sit on that, right? So it wouldn't be, you know, your basic, you know, lame-ass Dick Cavett nonsense. For those of you who know who Dick Cavett is, or any talk show, it'd be something a little bit, I don't know, that would be reflective of All Marine Radio and post-traumatic winning, but a little bit more Spartan, a little bit less conventional. So if you have any ideas, let me know. But I do like the idea of a painting that says lands with a, or just a graffiti thing, lands with a thud and needs no salesman. But it should be a painting. That way I can take it down and put it up as necessary. So anyway, I'm getting excited. And I'm today, you know, I'll build a second wall, but that's easy. And then I have to work on the flooring. And my thought is just, right, that pull off and stick, whatever the cheapest looking thing that looks like wood is at Home Depot. Yeah, that's my thought. So if you have any suggestions relative to that, yeah, send me an email. Let me know what you think. So anyway, so get excited because the next step is to, you know, is to paint it. And then once I paint it, that shit's done. The studio set, the lighting's here, and then all I'm going to have to do is fine-tune that thing. And then I'm supposed to do post-traumatic winning virtually for University of Arizona and ROTC. And I'm going to be able to do it out of the studio. It's going to be a big time. It's not going to be old Max sitting in his office, right? It's going to be live from Studio One of All Marine Radio Television. That's right. All Marine Radio Television. Yeah, it's no bullshit. When you see the picture of it, I'll put it on the read board here pretty quick. But when you see it, you'll be like, damn, motherfucker's legit. Yeah, because it is. It is legit. So anyway, you'll laugh when you see it. But yeah, my head almost exploded. The other observation I have for you is, so I stayed up till like 11:30 last night working on it. And the last 45 minutes I spent cleaning my garage. because it's like it's a workplace now, so it needs to be clean. So I'm sweeping. Okay. So I'm sweeping. And I'm thinking about the timeless wonder, right? I'm thinking about the timeless wonder of the broom. Think about it. I mean, we've been using brooms, a version of the broom, on this planet since what? Adam and Eve? Okay, just for the record, like, Adam and Eve didn't really happen. That's like a fairy tale. Everybody know that? Machiavelli said it in the book. It's true. Okay, that book is not all history, okay? I'm not sure if you know that. If you don't know that, you should go take a Bible class. Go take Bible as history, okay? Anyway, so we won't get into that right now. That's for a different time and place. But anywho, yeah, since Adam and Eve were rolling around in the garden, they were using brooms. Initially, what was it? Some kind of like firmed up, you know, little sticks in a bundle, right? With a piece of leather around it or something they fashioned around it, some kind of braid they fashioned around it. Yeah, the broom. So I'm using the broom last night, and it dawns on me when I'm sweeping spider webs out of a corner with sawdust and shit, because I've been cutting wood and there's sawdust everywhere, and which is what triggered my cleaning compulsion. So I'm sweeping and organizing the studio one, and it dawns on me, the broom is an absolutely phenomenal device. Thousands of years on this planet, people have been grabbing brooms and cleaning, and we've never found a better device. How about that? Isn't that amazing? When you give that some actual thought, that the broom is that kind of a device. I do believe that to be true, and it occurred to me last night. I have these like moments, right, of like incredible brilliance in the midst of like cleaning. And cleaning, I mean, is like, I'm good when I clean. Yeah, it's therapy for me. I'm just in my own little cleaning world, and everything I touch looks better. Yeah, it's like being Midas, except you're like Mr. Clean Midas, and Midas all, you know. Although, do you know the actual story of Midas? Midas had a golden touch, right? But do you know how that story ends? I bet you don't. Do you? Raise your hand if you raise your hand if you know how Midas ends. Okay, put your hands down. Now, first of all, Midas was a king. Did you know that? Okay. So, the story of Midas is a myth, in case you didn't know that, about the tragedy of greed and avarice. Extreme greed for wealth or material gain. Okay. Avarice. So anyway, I hope I'm saying that right. It's not a word I normally like roll around saying. Hold on, here's an email. I'm laughing my ass off, imagining you in the middle of Home Depot doing post-traumatic winning, knowing how excited you are. What the hell? What the hell? I think it's awesome. Exclamation mark. You go, girl. I will go, girl. Yeah, no, I mean, look, when somebody looks at me and says that, pfft, they're getting until they say, hey, I've got to go. Like, all right. But if they're going to stand there and listen, I'm going to let some post-traumatic winning rip on their ass. And I don't care where the hell it is. The speaking of that, listen to this. I had dinner with a friend of mine last week down in San Clemente, formerly the home of Napa Man, who's now Wisconsin Man. Yeah, he's officially now Wisconsin Man. Badger Man would be like identifying him with the university, and he's not a University of Wisconsin guy. So Wisconsin, Napa, maybe he should be hyphenated. Oh, shit. I'm not sure he wants to be hyphenated. But, I mean, I think it would be a better, like, everybody would understand it better. Napa hyphen Wisconsin Man. Anyway, yeah, he used to live in San Clemente. So I go to dinner there with my friend. I told you the story about this woman backs in and almost hits my friend, and she's backing her Escalade up. And now, how the hell can that happen? I mean, Escalades have cameras in the back. Things appear closer than they are. Don't they have sensors on those Escalades? How does she hit a barrel and almost knock over the lights of a restaurant? Nick's South, by the way. So anyway, my friend's talking to me. My friend's sons, he had two sons, and they were virtually the same age as John and Patrick. And this is my friend who has a really big head, who I nicknamed Marty for Mardi Gras head, right? And there's a long story behind that, but I was being ridiculed for my lack of hearing. My watch, the alarm on my watch went off while David Hackworth was speaking to the instructors of the basic school, and I'm sitting there, but I don't hear my watch going off. It's beeping. Beep, 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 beep. And everybody's looking around, and I'm listening to Hackworth. Beep, 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 beep. And literally, my left hand, where my watch resides, approximately at my wrist, it's like on my forehead, on the side of my face. So it's literally right next to my ear. But the pitch of the sound, I can't hear. So now my watch is going off, and all the instructors look around like, who's fucking watching? And I don't know what they're looking around for, so I'm just listening to Hackworth. And finally, they're like, somebody taps me like, Mac, your alarm's going off. I'm like, what? And they're like, your alarm's going off. And I look, and I went, oh, shit. And I hit it. And they're all looking at me like I'm an idiot. So we had this thing. Now, there's like 30 captains, senior first lieutenants that are going to be captains, and majors that have kind of just been captains. So that's that kind of group. And there's like between 30 and 40 of us up there that we teach tactics. So anyway, every month we had this thing called AI of the Month. And you got nominated for something stupid that you did. Okay? And so... I got nominated for the award, and you had to stand up and defend yourself. So somebody would stand up and read the nomination. You know, Captain Mike McNamara on or about, and they read the date, you know, for conduct on becoming a Marine officer, rudely interrupting the most decorated, you know, serviceman in the most decorated soldier. I don't know if he's the most decorated service member, but I think he might be. Of the Vietnam War, you know, Colonel David Hackworth, during his discussion about his book about face in Classroom 4, Mac, blah, 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 blah. So my defense was this. It was brilliant. I actually got a standing ovation at the end of it, which never happened. My defense was to ridicule. So I stood up and I said, oh, so we're just going to make fun of people with disabilities? And I went around the room, and I just ripped everybody, like my friend Marty with a big head. I said, and then there was another guy named Lenny Echo, and his head was like two cantaloupes stuffed together, so it kind of buckled in the center. And there was other people that had other deformities. And I went around the room, and I just ripped the living shit out of everybody. I said, look at Walsh. Look at that Mardi Gras head he's got on his shoulders. Do we make fun of him for that shit? I said, look at Echo. Look at that beautiful human being. Look at the two globes on his dome, man. Look at him. You can see him right now. You could teach land nav. That's what a saddle looks like. The terrain feature, a saddle he's got in his head. Do we ridicule him? And what about Lieutenant Colonel Grider? Do you see the nose hairs he's got going? Oh. And so by the time I get done, I said, no, you should not make fun of people for disabilities, okay? We can't help it. None of these guys can help it. With the exception of Colonel Grider, he could probably trim the nose coming out of his, the hairs coming out of his fucking nose. Right? And this guy's crying. I said, so, I am innocent of this charge. Right? And they stand up and they give me a standing ovation. So anyway, that's how my friend Terry, right? His nickname is Marty. So that happens. Okay. And his head is enormous. Okay. They have sons, Adam, and I won't tell you the name. And they're my son's age. The youngest son's born a little bit after Patrick. And Marty's wife takes Ben, I'm not supposed to say names, takes the kid to the doctor because the doctor wants to see him because the doctor has some concerns. His concerns are that Ben might have a form of mental retardation because his head's so big. So, but the doctor doesn't tell them that he's concerned about the head size. He just says, I just like to see him. I have some concerns. So Terry tells me, he's very, you know, he's like, I'm going to go to the doctor with my wife, blah, 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 blah. So they go up to Fort Belvoir. He leaves in the morning, comes back in the afternoon. I said, you know, I was concerned. How'd everything go, buddy? And he's like, everything's all right, Mac. Everything's good. I'm like, all right. So he goes, he puts in his uniform, and he comes over. And I taught in the defensive section. So we're, you know, me, General Kennedy. I mean, well, let me just tell you, teaching there was one of the most fun years of my life. All we did was laugh and teach and have a great time and argue and all this shit. Anyway, and that's how I that's where I meet Will, and that's where I meet Tim, and that's where I meet Jeff Kenny in the midst of this shit. So anyway, he comes and he sits down next to me. He goes, I got a story to tell you, but I shouldn't tell you. I said, why shouldn't you tell me? He said, because you're just not the person I should tell this to. He said, so we go up to the doctor. I said, okay. He said, and we go in the room. So the door opens and there's a chair, like where the, you know, when the door opens, you can see. And that's where my wife and our baby are sitting, right? And I'm sitting in the chair across from them, like behind the door. And so the door opens, the doctor comes in, and he says, hey, great to see you guys. You know, hey, buddy. And then the door closes, and he turns, and he sees my friend. And he says, and my friend says, hi. He doesn't say Marty, he says his real name. Terry is his real name. And they shake hands. And then the doctor looked at his wife and says, why didn't you tell me your husband had a gigantic head? And he looks, he goes, you guys could go home. I was concerned because, you know, your son's head was so big. So big. Oh my God, I was laughing. Anyway, This is how post-traumatic winning happens. So we're having dinner in San Clemente. And his oldest son died of a drug overdose. And so we're talking. And I told him, I said, you need to see it. And so he's telling me about his second wife. And he says, my second wife, her only son was murdered. And I'm just sitting there like, I'm like, okay. And he says he was going out with this woman who was, you know, separated or whatever, and the husband showed up with a baseball bat. And I went, And he said, yeah. And I said, well, you need to see this, and then you need to bring her to it. And he kind of went, I said, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, but you have two choices, man. You have two choices. You can try to endure this, or you can use this as a transformational event in your life. You have a choice. And there's no doubt, as your friend, there's no doubt which one you're going to do. Because I'm going to make you. And he looks at me and goes, holy shit. And I said, no. Honestly, it's the only path. And wait till you change one person's life. Wait till you change a person's life who has had a similar experience that not only you have had, but your wife has had. And so, again, I don't just tell you to do it. And I will tell you what, doing it is addicting, because the joy that you feel when you impact somebody's life like that is, I try to articulate it on a regular basis, but I think I suck at that part of it. Just amazing. But it comes into my life. And again, I had no idea about his second wife. You know, you're talking and you're hanging out. He never shared that with me. And so I'm just telling you. And then I get an email yesterday. Just before I got off the air, from the mother of a Marine who I met, who was with 1-5. And I meet him, and then she emails me yesterday. Hi, Mike. I live in Indiana. My husband and I listen to your show all the time. I have a friend who's gone through this thing, and somebody committed suicide, and, you know. So as soon as I got off the air, I picked up the phone. Hey, what's going on? I called the school. She works at the school. I called the school. What's going on? Like, this is Mike McNamara. You just sent me an email. She goes, oh, my God. I can't believe you just hauled off and called me. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, have my agent call you? I don't have an agent. And so, anyway, all you got to do is pay attention, man. Pay attention. And you can go around the world doing good things. So pretty exciting. All right. I should start the program. We'll check the news. Exciting news this morning. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I'm pissed because I was looking for a article about journalism and ethics that I saw earlier today, and I can't find it. I know I can't find it. So, because I like those stories. I like those stories. Because, again, when the Los Angeles Times does not tell the whole truth, there is something wrong, man. There is something wrong. So anyway, I wanted to do that. But the exciting story that's out today comes out of the University of, I think the University of Pittsburgh. And they have found a way to isolate the COVID-19 virus. Yeah, how cool is that? So if you do a little search on University of Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh scientists discover biomolecule that may neutralize coronavirus. How about that? Another headline, University of Pittsburgh scientists discover antibody that neutralizes the virus that causes COVID-19. How about that for a little bit of earth-shaking news today? The scientists at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine have isolated quote, the smallest biological molecule that completely and specifically neutralizes SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. The antibody component is 10 times smaller than a full-sized antibody and has been used to create the drug AB8, shared in the report published by researchers in the journal Cell, C-E-L-L, that's the name of the publication. Let me tell you, if you're reading Cell magazine, you might be a doofus, okay? I'm just saying. If you're that into, like, molecular shit, but God bless you, the drug is seen as a potential preventative against SARS-CoV. According to the report, the drug has been highly effective in preventing and treating the SARS-CoV-2 infections in mice and hamsters during tests. The drug also reportedly does not bind to human cells, which suggests it will not have negative side effects on people. How about that? Yeah. So a little positive news never hurts. So on that, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. You know what? I do believe that you know, Adventures in Home Depot would be a great show. I mean, come on. There's all kinds of stuff you can get involved in at Home Depot. Seriously. This is dedicated, this is dedicated to a girl I met in Home Depot last night. I hope you checked out the website, and I hope your life gets better, and I can tell you without a doubt, your life will get better when you begin to help other people. So, it was wonderful to have met you. Good luck.
Our flag conquered. betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech.
That is so funny. I laugh every time.
But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
That's even funnier.
We just have to execute.
This is not funny. This is serious.
I'm very proud of what you do.
Winning serious.
Get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go.
Oh, I tried hard.
These Marines did here 75 years ago.
Nobody gives a shit.
Against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. We got to win.
We got to win. And I have to say, you know, there's an article, I think, in the Chicago Tribune. But, you know, Notre Dame students are back on campus. And they said, you know, we have a moral obligation, you know, to our community to fight through this, to figure it out. And I can't tell you how inspirational I find that, that there's an organization out there that isn't just rolling over, you know, and in hockey, when somebody turtles in a fight. There's a famous instance of Claude Lemieux turtling in a fight. He checked somebody from behind who went face first into the bench. And as he fell towards the board, somebody was opening the door to come to let somebody off the ice. And he went right into the edge and just blew up his face. And it was in the playoffs, so they couldn't like straight up have a riot. So they had the riot the following year. Right, Claude Lemieux, right off the face-off, he turtles. A nation of turtles, not a nation of fighters. And I love the Fighting Irish. You know, look, they said, you know, we were in school during the Spanish influenza, during World War I, during World War II, throughout all the major catastrophes. We've gone to school, we've learned how to cope as a community. And we've sought to export the lessons that we've learned about being the Fighting Irish. We will fight through this. We will learn the lessons. We will share them with other people. It's like, whoa. Sounds like being American to me. Well, that's what being American used to be. You know? I look around. I don't know what country I live in some days. You know, it's too hard. I tried. Right? Loser shit, man. That is straight up loser shit. And if you allow your kids to say that stuff, I tried. Oh, really? You tried? Okay, as long as you're trying hard, that's the only thing that counts. No, it doesn't. Results count. Results count. Trying doesn't count. You're supposed to try. That's an assumed behavior, trying. Yeah. So anyway. Hold on. Mac. First of all, you need to settle the fuck down. Second, you didn't finish the Midas story. Okay, let me finish the Midas story. I get sidetracked sometimes. Okay, so Midas is greedy, right? Uber greedy. Okay? And everything he turns to, he says, I want to have more. I wish I could turn things to gold. And so the gods, it's a Greek story, say, sure, no problem. Without even thinking, he ate a grape, but it turned to gold. The same happened with the slice of bread and then a glass of water. Suddenly, he started to sense fear. Tears filled his eyes, and at that moment, his beloved daughter entered the room. When Midas hugged her, she turned to gold. Despaired and fearful, he raised his arms and prayed to Dionysus to take this curse from him. Dionysus heard Midas, felt sorry for him. He told Midas to go to the river Pactolus and wash his hands. Midas did so. He ran to the river and was astonished to see gold flowing from his hands. The ancient Greeks said that they had found gold on the banks of the river. When he returned home, everything Midas had touched had become normal again. Midas hugged his daughter in full happiness and decided to share his great wealth with his people. From now on, Midas became a better person, generous and grateful for all the good he had in his life. His people led prosperous lives, and when he died, they all mourned their beloved king. So the moral of the Midas story is don't be greedy, right? Be a giver, like with post-traumatic winning. And what happens? You will die a rich man. Maybe not in terms of money, but as a person. All right. Time for me to check the weather now that Junior Walker's playing for the third time. Hold on. Breaking news from the Wall Street Journal. A grand jury has subpoenaed John Bolton, agent and publisher, people familiar with the matter, said as a classified information probe turns criminal. Ruh-roh. All right. Currently in Quantico, Virginia, it's starting to cool off. It is partly sunny and 63 down the coast at Camp Lejeune, partly sunny and 76. Marine Corps Base, 29 Palms, it is sunny and 81. Pendleton, I would say it's hazy, but it's smoke. High smoke in the air because you can't smell it, and 69 degrees. In Hawaii, dark, clear, and 71. In Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 80. And in Australia, in Darwin, don't you know, dark, cloudy, and 77 in the Northern Territories of Australia. And in Oslo, where our 2MEF heads up that way, it is sunny, partly sunny, and 61. That is a look at your weather. Oh, wait, at the home of Almarine Radio, at the home of the budding YouTube studio. It is hazy and 66. Looking for a high today of 80. They revised all of our temperatures downward. That is a look at your weather. When I was going to take a break, but let me do a couple minutes of news. Yeah. And then Grant Newsom's going to join us. So we'll talk to Grant. Top stories in Stars and Stripes. Trump awards distinguished flying crosses to the guardsmen who helped rescue hundreds from wildfires. You know, I mean, to me, you know, everybody's talking about climate change. California's lived with fire danger forever. Why all of a sudden is it killing so many people? Could it be possibly that the state laws that prohibit communities from clearing brush from around neighborhoods because the, you know, the whatever tern might have their habitat destroyed or the box turtle might get fucked up? Could it be that? You know, the city of Paradise lived with fire danger forever. All of a sudden it's gone. How come? Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah. You know, California's been through droughts, been through heat waves, but these cities endured. How did that happen? How did they not burn on annual? Oh, global warming. Maybe not. Maybe idiotic legislation that doesn't allow communities to clear a wide enough swath around themselves to preserve themselves. That couldn't be it, could it? Nah, that would be stupid. China sends two aircraft carriers to sea as U.S. conducts large-scale drills off of Guam. Yeah. Navy's pushing for $500 million for large unmanned ships in order to diversify the fleet. What would those ships do? That's kind of an interesting question. What would a large unmanned ship do? Would it be a missile pod? Would it be a EW collection platform? What would it be? Would it simulate being something else? There's a lot of things you could do with it. The Navy aims to shift towards a more distributed fleet architecture. What does that mean? God, the Navy, like, what the fuck, really? With fewer guided missile cruisers and destroyers, more frigates and littoral combat ships, and significant numbers of large unmanned ships and submarines, according to the Navy's Large Unmanned Surface and Undersea Vehicles Bureau. Now, what happens when you can't communicate with these son of a bitches? The crewless ships will be able to, quote, perform missions that might otherwise be assigned to manned ships and submarines, include hunting. The crewless ships will be able to perform missions that might otherwise be assigned. Well, no shit, man. What might those missions be? Would it be the most dangerous missions? Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead? Would they be that mission? Would the unmanned ships, would they be, oh, those will be the ones that will contain Marines. We're not going on those. Got it. Navy commander of Texas Training Center is fired following an investigation. Commander, which means colonel, I'm sorry, lieutenant colonel, Robert Arias, the commanding officer of Naval Technical Training Center, Lackland, was relieved of command on Friday. We don't care about that. Americans are not fully conscious of the Chinese military threat to the United States. Admiral Charles Richard, commander of U.S. Strategic Command, said on Monday. So he testified in front of, what was he doing? I get apprehensive that we are not fully conscious as a nation of the threats that we face. China now has the capability to directly threaten our homeland from a ballistic missile submarine. That's a pretty watershed moment, said Admiral Charles Richard, commander of U.S. Strategic Command. Richard's comments followed the release earlier this month of the Pentagon's annual report to Congress on Chinese military power. So where was he? Who was he talking to? Was he just talking to Caitlin Kenny? Nice job, Caitlin. So that is in the news. Top stories in, real quick in the Wall Street Journal this morning are subpoena sent to Bolton's publisher and agent. Next headline, Kraft Heinz nears deal to sell part of the cheese business. Next headline, why did the stock market rebound from COVID in record time? Here's five reasons. From the opinion page, the Wall Street editorial today is Biden of the climate apocalypse. And then there's another interesting op-ed, and that is it's entitled "The Misguided Antitrust Attack on Big Technology," written by Phil Graham and Jerry Ellig. Big tech. Most people think that that thing needs to be busted up. Too powerful. And then there's another piece called Confessions of a New Gun Owner. So that is in the news. Top story. The biggest story, though, today is out of the University of Pittsburgh, where scientists there said they've discovered an antibody that neutralizes the virus that causes COVID-19. In my opinion, that's the biggest story. That's the biggest news. So that in the news. Marine Corps Times, number one story today is Venezuela says captured U.S. spy brought was brought to sabotage a power plant. All right. The top five stories in Early Bird real quick, and then we'll get Grant Newsham on. Number one, U.S. commander. Intel still hasn't established Russia paid Taliban bounties to kill U.S. troops. And that's been an ongoing issue, right? Because anything that gets linked to the president, right, gets crazy like yesterday. Headline, U.S. commander, Intel still hasn't established Russia paid Taliban bounties to kill U.S. troops. Quote, it's just not been proved to a level of certainty that satisfied me, said General Frank McKenzie. So, yeah. Not going to let that one go until Donald Trump cries uncle. Number two, attack on VA computer systems exposed personal information of about 46,000 veterans. Was that all? Shit, I thought it was going to be like 17 billion veterans all got their, you know, all got their information hacked. But no, only 46,000. That's a step in the right direction for the VA, for crying out loud. Next headline, Chinese nuke arsenal next on Beijing's to-do list, U.S. commander warns. So now that they've got their Navy, their amphibious fleet going in the right direction, next is the Chinese nuclear arsenal. So that's interesting. Number five, Army COVID-19 vaccine may produce a side benefit, a cure for the common cold. Don't count on it. Like the broom, the common cold has endured forever. Forever. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Grant Newsham will be with us. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday, right here in your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I have.
I really like this spot that the VA produced. I think it's awesome.